Blog Talk Radio.
Time is now 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast. Today is July the 15th, 2023, and you're tuned into the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. And happy Saturday, everyone. Hope you're having a great weekend. Man, I tell you, it's been something. It's been... Last weekend was fantastic, and actually we had a rebroadcast last weekend. We broadcast the interview that we had with Mr. T.C. Tompkins because I was at a concert, and it was, you know, Karen White, you know, I mean, when she's performing locally, I'm going to go and check her out. You know, she's such a great performer. And the other artists that were on the bill were so awesome. You guys got to check. I think the young lady's name was, I want to say Ree. I have to take a look at it, but her last name was Chad. And then the brother that came afterwards, his name is Tony Tatum. Wow. That brother's awesome now. I'm going to tell you, if you ever hear the name Tony Tatum, go check this brother out. He is fantastic. Fantastic artist. It was a free show. You know, it was sponsored by the DeKalb County Commissioners, and they have these events that they have every summer, like every other weekend. In fact, they're having a back to school event coming up. You know, book bags and pencils and paper and binders and all that stuff they're giving away free. I'm gonna look up that date. So if you live in the Atlanta area or DeKalb County area, you got to check out that event. I'm going to give you that information later on in the show. But first of all, let me open up the microphone to my co-host, first the lady of the house, Miss Janet Pollock Hawkins. Happy Saturday.
that's
a warning. She might doze off on us sometime during the show.
Wait, I'm running on 3 hours worth of sleep. So if I fall asleep on you, because I thought I was going to rest at the last minute, and it didn't work out that way. So I'm going to get one on you. Good afternoon. Good evening.
Good evening. That sounds like one of them cartoon type sleeps, you know, when they have on the cartoon, the person is asleep, they whistle. I've never known anyone to whistle while they're sleeping. But okay.
That's
and I
want to
welcome
one,
back. Okay. And I want to welcome back to the show. He's been really busy. And I'm glad that he's able to join us back again. Another co-host here all the way in L.A., Mr. Timon. Mike, there you go again. There you go, Mike. You opened up a can of worms, Mike. Better work out now, Mike. Shit. Oh, let's see. Here is Mike.
How are you guys? How are you, Janet? Mm, how are you?
How are you?
You been well? You been putting up with Mike?
Yeah. I'm tired.
I know. You've been working out.
Last minute night.
Hey, we were off last Saturday. Now, come on. Everybody had a break. So we were off last Saturday. Everybody got a break, you know, so we're all good, okay?
Michael switched some stuff up on me at the last minute, Thomas.
Oh,
we're
going
to talk about that later.
That sounds like a Mike move, yeah.
It happens, y'all. It happens. Come on now. It happens from time to time. I understand it. But, you know, stuff happens.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you guys, I'm glad we took a break last Saturday. We really enjoyed the show. You know, it's something I really want to talk about, too. And let me just run across some of the topics I want us to talk about, because we're going to get into the politics, of course, and see what's happening in that realm. But also, I want us to talk about fans throwing shit. What in the world is going on? People throwing stuff at people on the stage. I mean, this is getting out of control. Also, I want to talk about fired news anchors. Notice that it's not just Fox. CNN has dumped a few, you know. The SAG strike, but it's not just the writers. Now even the actors have joined the lines. And so what does that say for movies, TV shows, and stuff like that? In upcoming season. And it's really, really, really amazing. So first, let me see here. In the politics.
One more thing, Michael. Tech.
Huh?
One more thing.
I'm sorry. And in the second hour, we do have a special guest, Diane Rader, better known as Mama D, on a show on Blog Talk Radio called Real and Raw, is going to join us in the second hour, because, you know, a lot of people think that, you know, January 15th or whatever date they actually give you more time because, you know, due to certain things, they have given people more time to file their taxes. So our season runs year-round, really, for many people. It's not just at the end of April. So Mama D is going to join us and give us a lot of her information. I think, if I recall correctly, she's been doing taxes over 40 years or maybe even longer.
Yes.
I mean, it's been a career, a lifetime career for her. And she's done everyone from everyday folks to, you know, entertainers, you name it. She's covered the whole thing. And definitely, she is definitely an expert in her field. So she's going to join us in the second hour. So if you have any good questions, she's got some great answers. So, hell, I might have her start doing my taxes. You know? So
My man was 40 years, just like I did in electronics. 40 years, that is a long time.
That's
yeah.
a very long time to be doing taxes. Let me see here. I'm sorry, I'm trying to pull up something, and it's not coming up on my laptop, so I do apologize, you guys. Oh, wow. What is going on here? Okay, here we go. All right, so let's see, and let me do this right. So now, to our episode of The World of Politics. Yes, it's a scary thought, isn't it? Janet, what is going on here? Georgia just now picked a Supreme Court. They picked a grand jury. Actually, two. I've never known this to happen before. Maybe you can elaborate. But from what I understand, there's two grand juries that are going to hear this evidence that they have on Donald Trump. So does the court, look at if it has to be both grand juries to agree on it, or how does that work? I've never heard of that before, where there's two grand juries.
I think it depends on the trial. I mean, not the trial, the jury itself. When they hear the evidence, which one is going to be the one that they will indict him on. And if it's both, then it'll be both. But Trump's lawyers are trying to push it out indefinitely. They don't, for not to even go to trial. And, that's not going to happen, but they're working hard at it.
Okay. Simon, what's your take on it? Simon, you there? Yeah, I don't know if he put himself on.
Is his mic still open?
Yeah, his mic is open. Yeah. Okay. Let me go ahead and get this article real quick because I found that interesting. Here in Georgia, they showed a clip on the news of the judge who's overseeing this.
Talking to the jury.
Addressing the jury of what they are supposed to do and what they're asked to do. So according to this article, okay, it says, and this article comes from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, notable newspaper here, says weeks before he's expected to be indicted in Fulton County, former President Donald Trump revived his push to disqualify District Attorney Fannie Willis from investigating him for election interference. In a petition filed before the Georgia Supreme Court, Trump's attorneys also sought to squash the final report of a special purpose grand jury that recommended people be indicted. Additionally, they requested a ruling that would forbid Willis from using any evidence obtained by the investigative jury, which heard testimony from about 75 witnesses between May 2022 and January 23. The motion filed on Thursday asked Georgia's highest court to put a halt to any ongoing proceeding, which we know that's not going to happen. Okay. Quote, related to and flowing from the special purpose grand jury's investigation into this matter can be resolved. This would include any consideration of a possible indictment for alleged criminal meddlings in Georgia's 2022 presidential election by one of two regular Fulton grand juries that were seated on Tuesday. By one of two, it says. Okay. Let me repeat that again.
Yeah.
This would include any consideration of a possible indictment for the alleged criminal meddling in Georgia's 2020 presidential election by one of two regular Fulton grand juries that were seated on Tuesday. So there's the answer right there. So it has to be by one or two. But what if they both say no? I doubt that would happen, but that would happen. Let me go on reading I'm going to let you chime in, but let me finish this part here. Trump's attorneys, Drew Feinling, Marissa Goldberg, and Jennifer Little, acknowledged that the state Supreme Court had never once taken on such a request for extraordinary relief in the 4 decades that it has had jurisdiction to do so. But the motion said if Trump's case, quote, is not sufficiently extraordinary for this court to exercise jurisdiction, no case could be. Go ahead, Janet. You were going to say something?
When I was listening to most of the talk show or commentators on MSNBC, a lot of the posts, I guess the ones that used to be attorney generals, they were saying that it could be both. You know,
okay.
I mean, I know they said that at Atlanta Journal-Constitution, but they did say that it depends on if the jury decides to do both, you know,
mm-hmm.
because they're saying now that he's got 70-something indictments coming up. I mean, it was 37. That's an awful lot of indictments for one person.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Very interesting. And I see some people are popping up here in the chat room and some folks popping up on the board listening in. Welcome to the show. As always, we always do our little political rundown. And whenever we do that, we always going to start. Yes. We got to say that. We got to play that. All right, so. If this is the case, and I think what else he has really have to deal with is, I believe the mother and daughter that he accused
mm-hmm.
switching containers of ballots and this and that and the other are actually suing him at this point, right?
They're suing. Rudy Giuliani, they're suing a lot of people, not just Trump, you know,
mm-hmm.
because their life was torn apart. They went through hell, you know, with
mm-hmm.
harassment
threat,
and everything else.
To be threatened. You know, that has to be really deep because, I mean, here's an accusation of something which was proven untrue, but then the sad part is that people still think it's true. And, I mean, I'm sure they're just afraid to just go outside the house at times. So I can imagine what they've been going through for a couple of years now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, looking over your shoulder, you know, because of an allegation that the former president and Rudy Giuliani and a few others had said that they did. But the evidence proved and has been proven that that is not the case. But unfortunately, some MAGA supporters think, yes, they did. That's gotta be pretty serious. Yeah.
Yeah, because she just gave her the mom passed a piece of candy and they tried to the daughter.
Mm. I think you clipped out there for a minute. Say that one more time, I'm sorry.
No, I said when the mom passed a piece of candy to the daughter, they were trying to say that she passed drugs to her.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, let's look how stupid that sounds. You know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
you're in a facility that got cameras running, recording shit. You're really going to do a drug deal right there? I mean, well, a drug transaction right there in front of a camera?
Yeah, yeah.
That's really stupid as hell.
Well,
I mean, just the allegation alone. You know, just the allegation alone is beyond belief that
mm-hmm.
you can actually say that they were passing drugs. So that tells you how they feel about it. Let me see. Is Timon back on here? Is he back? Okay, I don't know. I got his mic open.
It might be like me. Someone died. He'll be back in a few minutes.
That's a possibility. That his phone might have died. But his mic is open, so I'm sure he'll chime in when he's available and ready. Now let's see. When you just said that, maybe think about something else. I want to throw in here too, because since we were off the air last weekend, I want to kind of touch on this whole thing about the individual who was in the Obama neighborhood, thanks to Donald Trump, who actually gave out an address. Now, whether it was the actual address, they said no, it wasn't the actual address, but it was in the vicinity of the Obama's home.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think this is going to go? I mean, the guy had a couple of weapons on him.
He had 400 rounds of ammunition, I think they said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a couple of guns. You know, and I think they're gonna. Well, they said he can't be let out on parole. After, what is it? Not parole, bail.
No, he can't be out on bond. Right.
Okay, bond.
Yeah, only for parole if you've been convicted, but he can't be let out on bond because that's a threat to a former president. And he doesn't have to be at his front door. I mean, you look at what had happened to even Nancy Pelosi's husband. You know, this guy came straight to the house and beat her husband and everything. So they're being very cautious and very of folks that and from what I understand, this guy has a criminal background. Plus, he even admitted that he was at the insurrection. So
he was there. They didn't. Yeah. He wasn't. Didn't go to trial like all these other guys and everything because I guess he was homeless and they couldn't find him.
Right, he couldn't find him, so he's got even more charges coming his way. So let me ask you this. So this what boggles my mind, by Donald Trump being connected to all this stuff, and this is what I have to say to any person who says, well, I don't give a damn about his past. He was great for America. He was a great president. He was the best president ever in history, which I've heard that a lot. And I'm like, okay, but the best president in history shouldn't have all these allegations against him. And it's not the first time that the best president in history has dealt with, you know, criminal charges. The guy has dealt with other charges in the past. It's not his first time. And that's how come I say, you know, he's Teflon Don for now. He's Teflon Don.
He's the best president because that's what he tells them. He's the best president ever. But if you look at his record, compare his record to any other president, you will see who's the best president.
But see, here's the scary thing. But Janet, and let's see, we're at the 6:23 mark. So we're going to move on to other topics. But here's the thing, like I said, the week before last. What's scary to me, he's the front runner.
Mm-hmm.
He's the front runner for the Republican Party. That's a scary thought.
It sure is.
It's just like when he said, I could shoot somebody on what street? What street he said?
Fifth Avenue.
And people will still vote for him. Honestly, he probably could. And they'll still vote for him. That's a
get away with it. Mm-hmm.
And get away with it.
Yeah.
There you go. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's a scary thought. America, what the hell's going on? So that's going to conclude our segment in This Week in Politics. All right, let's move on.
Wait, Mike, can I just say one thing?
Sure.
You know, because I was watching, I think it might have been Newsmax, and it was also Fox News, and they were talking about how senile Biden is, forgetful, stumbling, you know. They were saying that, and then in the next breath they said he was a mastermind. Because he was the Biden crime family, and he's supposed to be, you know, the head of it. They need to make their mind up. Which one is it? Is he senile, and he, you know, or is he a mastermind? because he sure looked like a mastermind this weekend. I mean, this week when he was with NATO and Helsinki, when he had to go there, and when Sweden was brought in, is going to be brought in with NATO, you know, so they sold that whole area up, but he had standing ovations. People were really happy to see him. He said he was looking and acting like the world leader, like a president of the United States was supposed to look like and act like.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I saw a clip on that. And also, I'll look at it. What is unemployment is at a pretty low.
All-time high.
All-time low. So
sorry
that's
guys.
I'm at low. Oh, back.
There he is.
Yeah,
just like they said on the TV show, like on Welcome Back, Carter. Welcome back. But go ahead. What's up, man?
Yeah, man. Hey, I was way out in Beaumont, California yesterday and had a great set. So the guy who booked me for that was him on the phone, you know, checking in and asked me how'd I enjoy it and all that. So it was good. That's what
Okay.
So hopefully we get some more gigs, get some more gigs out there.
Okay, great.
I hope you can come this way.
Hey, I'm working on it. I got a girl doing my marketing and stuff, you know, because I don't have an agent, so I got to do all this stuff. And now that I'm retired, I'm putting it all to use. So
okay.
I will work on that.
And
wonderful.
For all you guys that are listening, that are calling in and everything, that's another co-host. That's Mr. Timon Shipp. I mean, author, comedian, actor, awesome cat. And if you want to see, just go to Dry Bar. It's hysterical. Some of the stuff he talks about, I'm serious, it's hysterical. Just go to YouTube, pull up Dry Bar, pull up Timon Shipp. That's Shipp with two P's, correct? And check out his stand. Yep. All right. So we're about to step away from the political aspect because we do have a guest coming on at the top of the hour. So I wanted to get these other topics in before we run out of time. Fired news anchors. Just recently this week, well, not just this week, but a little while back, Geraldo Rivera. You all remember Geraldo, the guy who got his nose broke on live. Okay, that while he was doing an interview with some Ku Klux Klan, KKK, whatever, and everything, right? And so he became the guy that was known for these ridiculous shows where this vault is supposed to have X amount of, or the tomb of so and so. And you remember he was doing that type of shit, you know. And open it up, and there was nothing there. You know, we spent a whole hour waiting to see some shit, and it didn't happen. A whole hour we sat there in front of the TV. Remember that? But it was just as bad as waiting a whole hour for LeBron James to tell him he was going to take his talents to South Beach. That was a waste of time. So LeBron James, Geraldo Rivera, thank you guys both for wasting an hour of our lives for something that we really wasted an hour of our lives of doing, watching you open up a vault that had nothing in it and waiting for LeBron to say, I'm going to South Beach. So anyway, but Geraldo got fired from Fox recently, okay? And
he was fired from the side. And then he quit Fox.
Okay, yeah, from the show called The Side or The
Five.
The Five.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, The Five. Okay. Okay, still, it's a Fox show that, you know, they're very much to the, you know, the right. But anyway, because of he had disputes with one of the guys on the show. Now, there's two guys on this show. He wouldn't say which one. And mind you, he was on The View this week when he spilt the beans about what had happened. Initially, Janet, remember, he said he had quit. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't true. He actually confessed and said, well, yeah, I was fired. All right. And then he went in on Tucker Carlson. He didn't like the fact that Tucker Carlson was sitting up here doing the show, showing video of individuals in the Capitol just looking at books, walking down the hall peacefully. Like, we're supposed to believe this shit. And like all the other stuff didn't happen. You know? So Tucker Carlson gets fired. Right? Don Lemon gets fired from CNN. I mean, all these, you know, individuals who had their own shows, they weren't just anchors of the news. They had shows named after them. So what's really going on now in the news? What's really going on? Because now Fox has to pay, what's the name of the company that makes the voting units? They got to pay them millions of dollars. They got to pay them for false allegations and detrimental character, whatever else you want to name. They got to pay them. So what's going on with these networks? And do you really watch the news? I know a lot of folks say, I don't watch news. I don't believe in nothing that crap. So it's all propaganda. It's all BS and everything. You got to get your information from somewhere.
Yeah, right? I'm a
You know, Mike, when people say that, and, you know, the guy who did this is Donald Trump. Trump did all of this. This dude came in within a 4-year period. He turned America into a reality TV show. And he told them, he used all of the propaganda. It's all old school propaganda of fascism. Oh, the government's after me. It's fake news. Don't believe this. And, you know, this is a lie. That's a lie. And when you saw what happened with the lie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how many people died because of what Fox did? How many people got brutally beaten, robbed? How many people are in jail? Because Americans are sheep, and they do a lot of things. A lot of them don't like to read. I know a lot of people went to college. Once they got out, they don't read no more. But education is key. You must continue to educate yourself, but you got to watch what you're educating yourself on. That's how people get caught up in cults. You know, you get caught up in the cult because you have not done your own knowledge. You don't even believe your own brain. You waiting for somebody else to tell you what's true.
Yeah,
right.
They're looking at it.
That's why they were able to sell you. Oh no, we didn't go to the moon. Oh, the Earth is flat. You know, Mike, that there are people who, I think, what is it, 30% of Americans or 20% believe that the Earth is flat. You know, that's what I'm talking about. That's why we were able to create the Pet Rock. That's why the Pet Rock did so well, because people are stupid, and they're not. And you don't have to be a scholar. It's not about being a scholar. It's just crack open a book. The library is the freest education you can get. And those without education, those who do not read, who do not open their mind, and all they can go fake news, they don't know no facts. That's why Marjorie Taylor Greene. Is in Washington, Boebert's in Washington. You know, these people got vomited up out of our society in Washington because they played upon by playing upon fear, by sharing stuff that's not true,
and people
buy it. And you don't question. You know, they wonder why DeSantis isn't doing well, because DeSantis is selling you on culture wars. That's what Fox did. Fox sold you on culture. That's why you couldn't talk about race. They don't want you talking about it because you can't. Because I don't care where you want to start at. I always tell the white dude, where you want to start at. Because whatever door I open, it's going to open up Pandora's box, and you don't want to see it because it shows who the real savage was. They say, oh, the Indians are savage. Oh, the Africans are savage. No, it's going to show you that white boy who was fueled by the elite, by the rich, to do all of his dirty work. That's who did all the lynchings and the beatings and did all these and changing all the laws. And I'm sorry, we got black folks that buy into what they're doing. And I'm not saying Democrats are perfect, but if you want to sell somebody something, you know, think of it. Janet, you remember Heaven's Gate?
Yeah, yeah.
The dude that told him that we're going to catch Halley's Comet? Can you believe? And Mike, can you imagine that weird white cat told him? And the black dude that was in the part of the group was Uhura from Star Trek. That was her brother.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. And he got them to say, we're going to catch the comet, Mike. You know, and I ain't trying to be crass, but could nobody tell me to remove my genitals and put them in a jar that I have to see them every day? And he's the man that we're supposed to be following. He
right.
told him that, Mike. I ain't making that up. He still put it there, put mm-hmm. it up there on the stage there. Yeah. And we gonna catch Halley's Comet. It's coming this week. And they had a little business working out of a mansion. Now that was or Charles Manson. You got another guy, Charles Manson, who got all those people to do what they did. Or Jim Jones. I thought Jim Jones.
Jim Jones, which one of the girls was just recently released from prison?
Van Houten.
That's what I was going to say. Marjorie Taylor Greene was fired from her committee because she called Boebert a bitch during the session.
Okay.
Because she wanted to impeach Biden first.
Okay. Let me go ahead and move on to because again I want to go into these other topics before the top of the hour because we do have a guest that's coming in and in fact we'll talk with her for a while and then we got some other topics we can come back to but we were talking about the fired news anchors. You know, this is really interesting what's going on and that's going to change the landscape of news. Now, for me, I really watch another news channel. It's not CNN. It's not Fox. It's not MSNBC.
What
this
is
channel,
it?
Well, can I finish speaking? Okay.
And you named all the big ones.
Yeah, but this channel, I just happened to come across. And what I like about them, they have certain documentaries, and I'm trying to pull them up so I can tell you exactly what they have on right now. It's a news channel. It's news, and then they have other stories on outside of what you know, the local news and what you see. But it's a news channel, but they also – it's called Scripps. And that's with two Ps. Okay. In fact, right now they're showing where the Georgia grand jury to hear Trump 22, sworn in. They're showing from what happened this week. They're showing the judge right now who was talking to the jury. They're showing district attorney or the attorney here. So they're talking about that now. So if you get a chance, check out Scripps News, and you decide for yourself if it's a newsworthy channel.
It's not like Newsmax or ONN
it's not a Newsmax at all. It really isn't. When I watch them, they're not down in Republicans. They're not down in Democrats. They're just sharing the stories of what happened today. They're not giving their own personal opinions or anything. In fact, what I like about this channel, they tell you what's going on, and instead of having these special guests that sit up here and talk about their opinions about it, what they do, they move on and they show you other interesting things that's going on in the world. They even show stuff that's happening in nature and all that type of stuff. You know what I mean? Other type of shows. They're not a 24-hour news network. So that's what I like about them. They show you the news, show you what's going on, then they move on to something else. They have no drama. It's no opinion panels on this show. I like that. Tell me what I – show me the video. Let me see. Tell me what they said, and let's move on. See, that gives me the opportunity to make a decision of what I, you know, see and what I'm hearing. They don't add shit.
Right.
You know, that's the type of news channel I like. Let me, you know, think for myself. But it's called Scripps. It's S-C-R-I-P-P-S News, Scripps News.
There's an American news channel that's headquartered in Atlanta, Georgia, and is owned by E.W. Scripps Company. It was previously known as Newsy. They just changed the name.
Exactly. It was when I first saw it, it was called Newsy, yeah. But I didn't realize it was changed over to the, just Scripps. But it is an interesting news channel. It really is. Okay, so let's move on to the SAG strike. I'm really interested in this because I have some friends who work behind the scenes. Guy went to school with David Terry. He's a grip. A few other folks I know who work in the movie and television industry. This has a big effect, more so than just the writers, but also the people who do the filming, the people who do the makeup, the people who do the wardrobe. It's a rippling effect throughout the entertainment industry. And now the actors have jumped on board. Anybody have any thoughts on this? Because if you think you've seen enough reruns, get ready. The rerun train is coming. Because they got to put something
on
here.
Well, I think it was due for them to go on strike because they said they had not been getting paid, the actors or the writers, their just dues when it came to the amount of money. And now with AI coming in play, you know, they said that they can take their a picture and their voice and don't even have to have them back, pay them one time and use them forever with the AI, you know. So they're fighting for more money because a lot of them are not the big artists or actors and actresses that's getting all these top movies and money, you know. And they're just everyday people, and they're not getting paid. But they said the CEOs are getting, like, billions of dollars.
Well, of course, the CEOs of movie studios are getting a lot of money, of course. I mean, that's the way it's always been. But, Tymon, you in the industry, you're in the entertainment industry. What's your take?
I'm right there with you, Janet. They should have – this comes down to not wanting to pay people, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They've never wanted to pay the American worker, you know, because, you know, like you said, the CEO is making money. It's all about the shareholder. If you ever hear them, it's about the shareholder. They're always trying to find a way to do what? Not pay the American worker. I don't want to pay the writer no more, so I'm going to go and create some computer whatever, and that way you get rid of somebody. Quality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because the quality is not going to be the same. Even if you do go and try to get some computer, Robert Downey Jr. went and copyrighted his voice just so they wouldn't steal it, you know. And so when you're doing this, it always comes back to what? It comes back to money. All right, you know, and nobody wants to pay. You're constantly raising people's rent, you know, you're constantly changing the rules of the game.
Right.
You know, and everything, you know, when they look at poverty, it's all connected. You know, it's all connected. It didn't have to be this way, but that's the way they set things up. I mean, when this streaming thing came in, what, you didn't think people were going to notice that, yeah, you got to give me a residual check? You just going to run my stuff all the time? You're not going to pay me? You know how much it costs to do Yellowstone, Mike? $20 million an episode. Okay, Paramount's paying $20 million an episode to do that show. And
that's
then
right.
they turn around. Now, they really, they claim that they lost money. Well, they're losing money because you cannot, you know, continue to pump these things out like this. You know, that's why everybody was sitting at home and binge-watching all these shows. Well, the actor is getting screwed.
Mm-hmm.
Because as soon as they binge-watch it, and it's running and running and running, somebody's got to get a check. Why do you think they changed the residuals on commercials? I did 11 national commercials back in 1990, around 98. I did about 9 or 10 for Xerox. And my first check was 10 grand. That's the first one out the door. You know, you're not seeing that kind of money no more. And before that, they said it was better than that. There were guys getting 20,000.
Yeah, now they said it's a one-time fee, that one-time check.
Yeah.
And they don't get
it. And if you notice, they keep just shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. They don't want to pay you.
Mm-hmm.
And why is it they keep raising our rent, Mike? Has your rent went up, Mike?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Go ahead, and I'll say something.
August, my rent goes up, okay? So to tie it all in, here I am, if I'm an actor, and I've been working on a regular basis, I'm not getting my residuals like I'm supposed to, okay? I got rent to pay. You raise my rent. I'm doing okay because it's really commercials that keep the union running. It's not the big-time movies. It's the commercials because guess what?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're getting you know all that sponsorship that you did, all these major companies.
That's
where
the money
comes in. You know, that's what.
Yeah.
And so if you're a big time actor, they put you under contract. You know, you're getting they put you under contract. But if you're just a regular actor, you need those residuals. And what they've done is continue to figure out a way to not pay you. To shrink your check, which is not cool.
Right.
But it's going to happen. You
right.
know, it's going to happen. So,
yeah, you know, what you were saying about rent, I was renting a house at one point, corner lot. It was only $900 a month. When I left that place, they were asking me, even right after the pandemic, they wanted somewhere around 1300. Mind you, I was at 900, 1300. Well, my paycheck didn't advance that much over the years. Okay.
Well, let me let you know, Mike, do you know that when the apartment business finds out that people are getting raises, like when they ask for the, say these actors get their money, right? And they're going to get their money. You know they're going to raise their rent.
But see, here's what I was trying to get to. This is what I was trying to get to. Across the street from me was a big wooded area. They cleared it out, right, and they built a huge subdivision. So what happens then? I know you all both know the answer to that. All the properties or all the homes in the area does what?
Go up.
It goes up in tax, in property tax.
Right,
the property tax
of the regentrification. But
right. Let me finish. When they built those damn near 100 homes off in that area that used to be woods, so the property tax went up on all the neighborhood homes that already existed. Right, that's what happened. The school tax, property tax, because now you got kids that are living in that area. Right, so the tax went up
right.
in that particular area. Okay, so let me finish first. Though I didn't have any kids, the owner of the property is getting taxed more. You follow me? The owner of the property is getting taxed more. So what does the owner of the property do? He passes that over to his tenant, who doesn't get a raise from his job. That's the way it works.
Can I say something?
But Mike, what I'm saying is they already – you can't just keep raising my rent, okay? You own something. So, like they put out in paper that if you worked at Target and they paid you $24 an hour, if the guy in your area finds out that y'all got raises, okay, without nobody changing his taxes, they find out you got a raise, they're going to raise your rent.
Correct.
So you never get ahead.
Shit always rolls down, my brother. Shit always rolls down.
But that's exploitation, Mike. You cannot continue to exploit the poor. And you want to know why there is homelessness. You want to know why things are going where they're going. You're exploiting the poor. That's where they make their money off. That's why you have slum lords. That's why people are struggling. When people lose their jobs.
Can I say something?
There's
in Georgia and other places, they do have like homestead exemption. And if you file for that, your taxes is a lot lower. And then once you become a senior, I know for a fact because my taxes went from almost $3,000 to $600 and something a year because I filed senior tax exemption.
Okay.
And my taxes got cut, so my mortgage went down to a lower amount.
Okay, so since we're talking about that, what we're going to do, we're going to keep that in mind, and then we're going to take a quick music break because our guest is here on the board, and I want to start on time. And then what we'll do, we'll come back. Since we're talking about taxes, well, this is the person who does taxes, okay?
Yeah.
So this is the person who's going to be the expert who's going to join us momentarily on the show, and she's been listening, so I'm pretty sure she has some things to say about what we've been discussing. So we're going to take a quick music break, come back, introduce our guest, and we'll continue. We'll start a conversation with her and then continue more afterwards. You're listening to TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia, with my co-host Janet Davis and Time and Ship. Like I said, last Saturday we did a rebroadcast because I had to go and see my girl. I had to go see Karen, you know. You know, when she comes in, and it was a free concert? Come on now. And before that, I have to tell you this before we move forward. For you people in L.A. and Los Angeles, make sure you check out, get your tickets for the Karen White Experience. It's happening in Los Angeles. Just pull it up. It's going to be there. It's her two opening acts. I'm going to pull that up and read that to you. And also, O'Brien will be at the show. You remember O'Brien? Yeah. Mm-hmm. O'Brien will be there as a special guest. It's a great show, you guys. You can't miss it. All right, we'll be right back. Here's Karen White.
Happy to see where I think of you and we really get together and one day I'll be on top. You're in the wild and we'll be locked the door or you'll be on mine.
What's up, y'all? This is St. James, and you're listening to TMGS, The Michael Gay Show. Tune in every Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for interesting topics and awesome music. Now back to the show.
Mm-hmm. Simon, are you there?
I'm here. Hello. I'm sorry. Had myself on mute.
Mm-hmm.
That happens. Welcome back to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live here from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. Of course, that was Karen White with Secret Rendezvous and St. James. Thanks for the job. And by the way, it looks like I have somebody here on the board that I had the honor of speaking with. She started her own business in Birmingham, Alabama, right? And now her product is in certain stores in the Birmingham area. So hopefully we're going to have her scheduled pretty soon to come on the show and share that interesting information and journey and her blowing up as a bigger, you know, entrepreneur of her own business. But I want to go ahead and get this started. Since the break, we were talking about, you know, taxes and all that type of stuff. Well, we have a guest who is going to tell us a little bit about taxes, right? Because they've been doing this for a very, very long time, okay? Very long time. And I'm so glad that she's available to join us today. And you notice I'm speaking a little slower because I'm trying to find something on the board so I can introduce her correctly. So I'm going to open up her mic. And I want you guys to do me a favor. Please put your hands together, okay, for our special guest, Miss Diane Rader, better known as Mama D on Real and Raw. Put your hands together, you guys. Here we go. All right, Adam. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Adam. Thank you. Yeah, come on now, y'all. Come on, come on, come on now, y'all.
thank you. Hello, Michael. How are you today?
Fine. Happy Saturday. How are you, Mama D?
Fine. It's a pleasure being here. I have been listening to your show, and I told you I was enjoying it. So it's very nice, and I'm glad to be able to come on and tell you. You know, you were mentioning a long time. I've actually been doing taxes for 46 years. If you can imagine. And I can tell you that in 46 years, the changes that I have seen, and you know how sometimes they say if it's not broke, don't fix it, that type of thing, right? They have taken some things that they should not have changed. And they did that back in the Reagan era was one of the main times. And then again, there's a few things in the Obama era that was, you know, but I have to tell you, what Trump did was really horrible for the majority of the taxpayers. And it was so sad because what he did at the beginning of COVID. And so, yeah, I kind of like to touch base on anything. And if anybody has some questions, you know, I'd be more than happy to answer. You know, I heard, Janet, you were talking about the senior exemption for property taxes. You know, each state, it's actually offered to your state. So each state has its own, and it's a different amount depending on the state you live in. And that's also true with the homestead exemption. And, again, that's also through the states. But I have to tell you, you'd be surprised How many people don't even know about that?
Nope.
And,
yes,
you
and
know,
that's a big break.
It is. In California, the homestead can be up to $7,000 for the homestead. And some people, you know, also if you're a veteran and, you know, it's certain you're a veteran, you don't even have to pay property taxes at all. So, you know, there's a lot of things that people don't know. So I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, even though that's not related to IRS, it is still related to taxes, and property taxes is important. And one of the reasons that I'd like to say that, and this is one of Trump's changes, is when people can itemize on a tax return, you know, I'm
that's
talking
right.
individual personal tax returns, okay? There's
she's
a Schedule A where people used to itemize. So your medical, it has to be more than 7.5% of your gross income. Well, I can tell you that unless you had major surgery or a lot of dental with no dental coverage, almost nobody has enough medical to claim. Now, the next
I always could claim because I had a lot of medical. But I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
The difference
Okay, so let me ask a question here real quick. Okay. You don't mind. I mean, because you've been doing this for 40 years. I just want, for the listeners, because I'm looking at things that are popping up on the board, you know, when you started, so 40 years, what got you to want to be in this particular field and kept you going on for this long?
46 years.
You know.
46 years, I'm sorry.
You know, I'll tell you what, Michael. I originally, when I was getting out of high school and everything, I actually wanted to go into law enforcement. That had always been my passion, and I had already taken I'd already taken classes and was heading in that direction. And I was actually in a head-on collision in 1978. And what it did is my right foot was shattered completely. They were going to amputate it. And they went ahead and saved it. But what it did is it ended my career as being able to go into law enforcement. So I had to start looking around for a job. And it just so happens that IRS was hiring. And there was a big IRS center here in Fresno, California, where I live. So I applied for it, and I was hired. And so I started from the bottom. You know how you kind of have to start from the bottom and you work your way up. But, you know, surprisingly, when I got to the point where I was a tax examiner and a supervisor and that type of thing, you know, actually liked helping people. You know, you get you hear such horrible things about IRS, but in the area that I worked in, when somebody would call in and I could actually help them, I felt good about it. You know, and you have these people calling in, and they're thinking the worst, and they're gonna go to jail, and they're gonna do this. Well, you know what? I liked helping them. So the one thing though that I always didn't like, Michael, is that companies like, I'm just using examples here, H&R Block, Jackson and Hewitt, Liberty Tax, and all these, they charge by form and by each thing they, like say you have two W-2s, they charge for each W-2. So I saw these same people paying, you know, anywhere from $500 to like $2,000 to have their returns done. And that bothered me. So I retired from there and I opened my own business. I work from my home. I do not advertise. I am by word of mouth only. So if you come to me, then that means either you know me or somebody knows me. And I have almost 1,500 clientele. And believe me, for one person, that's a lot. And I love
you know,
because
the interesting is that you said that they will pay anywhere from $500 to $1,000. They may not only owe the government $500. Now they're like, you know. That's crazy.
And so that was one of my things. And the thing I always hated is that nobody ever takes the time to explain things. And I believe in explaining things. And I've had a lot of people come to me, and I've been helping a couple of people right now, and we're actually doing, believe it or not, 6 tax years for one, and I'm doing 5 tax years for the other. because mm-hmm. they actually weren't done right. And the reason is nobody ever took the time to explain to them what they could do, what they needed. And they weren't done right.
Yeah.
And so it was saying that they owed, you know, like $6,000 when in reality they didn't. And so that's my thing.
Go ahead,
Diane. Everybody, let her finish out real quick. But go ahead.
Oh, no, please. If you want to jump in.
Yeah,
anytime,
I want to give everybody a chance to speak. Right.
Yeah, and,
but I
you
want
know,
you to
Janet, that's just. But my main thing, too, is when I have to tell you, Michael, my big thing right now is trying to also educate people in advance. And the reason I say that is this. Trump made a huge change in 2020 when the COVID hit, and it involved, like I said, the Schedule A. And one of the things it did is it limited the property tax and your state and local tax that you could claim on that Schedule A to $10,000. Now, again, I live mm-hmm. in California. So let's say my clients that live in San Francisco, their property taxes are $20,000. And the state and local taxes they make on their wage checks, because obviously they got to make good income to pay that kind of money, right, is, let's say, another $8,000. So they've got like $28,000 there in that category. They only get to use 10 of it. So they lose mm-hmm. that $18,000, which means they're having to pay more money now in taxes. And the mm-hmm. other thing he eliminated was employee business use of home. And employee yeah. business expense is what it was. Now, when you were a salesperson, let's say you worked for an insurance company and you sold insurance. So you were paid as a W-2, but you drove around trying to get your leads and everything, and you could at least take your mileage on your return. You can't do that anymore. If you're not self-employed and you're only a W-2 employee, you can't. Well, here the pandemic yeah. hit, right, in 2020. How many people had to start working from home? All these
yeah.
companies that sent their people to work from home, and they were no longer allowed to use employee business use of home, and yet they had to use more electricity, they had to use more, some of them had to get cable, mm-hmm. some of them had to get different things. And so, like I said, he did some changes that weren't good. They took away the exemption amount. The only thing you get exemptions for now is children that are 16 and under, that is $2,000 right now, and you get for 17 and older, $500. Well, at one mm-hmm. point in time, there used to be, you got an exemption amount for every person, you,
right.
if you were married, and whoever you claimed. So these changes have hurt people so much that they don't understand the W-4s are filling out. So I try to
yeah.
educate people, Michael, mm-hmm. because what I find every year is I look at the W-2, and the minute I look at it, I tell them, before I've even entered anything into the computer, I say, you don't have enough withholding. And that's because of all these changes. So my thing I do very much is I like to help people, Michael. That's why I want to stay in business. I'm going to be 66 this year. And everybody always jokes with me about, you're not going to retire anytime soon, are you? I always tell them I will give them a year's notice that if they don't see a big sign up saying, next year will be my last year, you're okay. I actually think the last year that I will file, because like in 24 we'll be filing for 23, and 25 we'll be filing for 24, and in 26 we'll be filing for 25. I decided that kind of sounds like a cool year to end on, 2025.
Okay.
So I kind of
now,
think that, but that doesn't mean it won't go longer.
I want Janet to go ahead and respond, but I want to share something real quick, though. What I find interesting, because when you brought up the whole thing about the pandemic and people working from home, and now companies want people to come back to the building, right, and work from the building. But a lot of folks, it's convenient working from home for them because now they can be around their children more. They don't have to pay for the daycares and all that type of stuff, right? And then as you guys, most of you know, I work at a Walmart that worked in the electronics section, and that's where they sell the ink for printers. And I saw where in one price change, the ink went up $6 and $7.
Right.
And people working from home. Now, are they being allowed to write that off in their taxes? Or if you don't have a nickel to write off, you just lost your money, right? you just lost out. That's what I kind of wonder,
Michael,
if that's the case, because I think a lot of folks really
that
ticked
is
out.
True, and not only that, a case of paper for me has 5,000 sheets in it, right? Okay, so this year, I've already used 8 cases of paper, so I've already made 40,000 copies, which just what you are saying. Do you know how much toner my printer, I have multiple printers, but my main printer uses a toner, and that toner is $100 a cartridge. And
yep,
so you're, just exactly what you're saying is, man, I'm telling you, that cost, and when this did happen, I can tell you those prices all of a sudden did go up. And I know it's
yes,
for that
did.
Exact reason that you're saying.
Yeah.
And
you know
what I'm going to do? My daughter I used to have her claim me because I no longer had to file taxes. And
right.
All of a sudden when Trump came in, she couldn't, there was a lot of things that they couldn't claim. And one of them was me, because that really
right.
helped them, and they
right.
have high taxes for their house and stuff that, like you said, it's a certain amount of money they can claim, but they end up paying more out instead of before
yeah.
getting a refund. Now they're paying out more.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell everybody the lowest tax bracket that they have is 10%. And to be in the 10% tax bracket, you have to make less than $10,999. So when I have somebody come in, and they are showing me a W-2, and let's say the W-2 is for $75,000. Now, the $75,000 happens to be a 22% tax bracket. But remember, I said the lowest, right? So I'm sitting here looking at somebody with $75,000, and I look, and they only have $3,500 in withholding on it. And then you try to explain to them why they owe. And it's like, oh, my Lord. So, no, yeah, it's sad and everything. I've seen it all.
And say to everybody that's on the board, I see there's some callers here. There's quite a few callers here on the board that are listening. Thank you for joining the show and listening in. They've been listening since the top of the hour. But if you have any questions or comments for our guest, Diane Rader, better known as Mama D, please hit the number 1 on your phone, or you can go to the chat room. And just takes a second to get yourself into there, and you can post your questions and comments there, and I will read them on the air. Co-host Tymon Shipp is on the board. Tymon, do you have any questions or comments for our guest?
Hello, Diane. Yes.
Hello.
I have to say, my girlfriend is a CFO, so she does taxes and everything. So I hear this type of talk all the time. You guys are a special group of people, and we definitely need someone to help us with our taxes because, I'm in the entertainment business, so I always try to follow what people help me out with, and what to write off and what I can write off and all those different things, because it's very helpful. That, like you said, explaining. It's great to have someone that can explain it to you and have an understanding of what's going on,
uh-huh.
You know how to
yeah.
write things off and be on top of it, because I
and entertainment business is a hard one to know what you can do, because there's so much more that you can claim, but it's the documentation you really need to watch. But there's things you can do that you don't realize. So that is a really, what you're saying, that is a big difference. I'm glad you have someone that can help you. And actually, I give advice. I don't mind giving advice and suggestions to people and explain it. Even if they're not my client, but, they know somebody and they happen to call and ask, hey, I have this situation, and someone told me to talk to you. And it's like, I will. And as a matter of fact, somebody that Michael was playing a song for, a song of a little while ago, I was really happy a few years ago that I was able to just do what you're saying, give them some advice and let them know the mm-hmm. things they just need to keep track of and do. And you know what? Anytime I can help, I'm more than willing to. So I'm glad you have somebody in your corner, too.
Can I tell you a story real quick? There was a
sure.
back there was a time when I changed jobs because I relocated to Georgia. So I got my 401k and my job, I got the taxes taken out. But when I went to file, they said the IRS people said I owed. And the agent that I was helping me, he said that you are guilty and you have to prove that you are innocent. So I ended up paying for 10 years back taxes, and come to find out he had me filed wrong, and I should have gotten that. I shouldn't have been paying all those years. So this tax person that Michael's father told me about helped me, and I ended up, she said that she did amendments for me, and they were supposed to give me $25,000 back. But, you know, I never got it because they said it depends on when they actually look at it and start working on it.
But here's the other thing on that, Janet. There is a statute of limitations for getting a refund back. And what it is it's 3 years from the due date of the return or 2 years from the date of a payment. So right now, on April 15th of this past year, the tax year of 2019 expired. So if you were trying to amend 2019 right now, and instead of it being, say, it was showing you owed, you do an amended on it, and it says, oh, hey, you should be getting back $2,000. They're going to process the change and take it so you don't owe anymore, but then they're going to send you this nice letter that says, because the statute of limitations has expired on this, you do not get this $2,000, and they put it in this fund that nobody keeps track of. And that's the sad part is. Yeah, and the sad part is, though, is although the person can help you amend those years so you don't owe money, the only ones you're going to be able to get back are any payments you made within 2 years ago, or if it's a 20 or 21 or 22. And that hurts. Well, right now, the people I'm helping are in that same position where they owe.
Yeah.
Fortunately, their current years were taken, so we're within the 2 years, and we're going to be able to help them.
So hold on a minute.
What they did was put the what I owe.
I have to ask this question real quick. So what you're telling me is that the government, the IRS, can say, well, we're going to put you on hold. In other words, they're buying time in order for that time to expire.
They go by the date it's received. So, because right now they are running 8 months behind right now on processing amended returns. But as long as it was either filed electronically or whether it was a paper return, they will date stamp it if it was. And they go by the date stamp. So as long as your date stamp is before the statute of limitations has expired, then you will still get it, even if it takes them longer to process it.
Right. The statute of limitation had ended. And then the other, like you said, they added it to my back taxes, so I never got that either, you know. But at least I don't have to pay them anymore. You know, I was stuck paying them for 10 years.
$600
pay period.
You know, and I'm going to let you guys in on a little bit of secret here, okay? Not only am I a tax preparer, but I'm a former IRS employee, and I was a revenue agent, and I was also what was called their subject matter expert. So, you know, I helped write what's called the IRC codes that taxes are based on. Now, IRS has tolerances they don't want people to know about, but they also have different rules and regulations and things like this. And, you know, the funny part about it is that when you are filing and you don't file for, let's say you haven't filed for 10 years. Now, currently, their limit is if they were to file you at whatever your last known filing status is, which would either be single or married filing separate, because they can't do you joint, so it would be one of those two, right? What they do is they figure it out, a computer does, not a person. It figures it out, and right now, if the amount you would owe is not greater than $2,000, they are not going to pursue it. So you could not, people say, well, I know somebody that hasn't filed taxes for 10 years. Well, that's probably because you know, they would not have owed at least, because it takes that much money in order for it to be anything. So that's one thing. But here's the other part about it. But let's say they decide to come in because now you haven't filed, and you're, if they, you have one big year that you maybe had sold something that would have generated a huge tax. You know, maybe you had some stocks you sold, or you had a house you sold, something that would have been a generate. Now all of a sudden they're going to pick up those back years too, because if they're going to go after it, they're going to go after it all, right? But here's the thing. They can go, do you understand that they can literally go back as far as they want to to try to, to make you file, but that, and make you pay.
Once that's what that's
filed
what the
return,
tax person told me.
11, you owed on it, but you have a 10-year statute of limitations for collecting. And if that 10 years expires and they have not been able to collect on it, IRS has to write it off. So I can tell you that I've had some clients where we've stalled some things out to help the statute of limitations expire because, you know, it's been an issue. Yeah, they do.
Person told me to file, Mary filing separate, and that, and my tax person told me I should have filed single. With and then because I had a home, I was supposed to, you know, not just file like zero. Don't let the IRS use your money all year long. She had me file three, and that helped me, and I got money back every, you know.
Right.
Plus, I had more in my check. Yeah.
There you go. That's what you need. Michael, do you have time for me to tell two fast stories about something that happened while working for IRS, or are you short on time?
No. You know, I got 2 hours and plus an hour. You know, I mean, I can extend the show if I have to. That's not a problem.
Okay, well,
I definitely want to hear that story. But let me ask you a question real quick.
Sure.
And then I want to hear the story because it's interesting. So let's say an individual like, Wesley Snipes, okay? He went to jail for tax evasion, right? Okay, so you're saying that, well, basically, they don't go after everybody unless you're at a certain amount, right? Because a lot of folks are afraid, oh, if I didn't pay the taxes. But now, when you do owe the government, all right, and let's say you owe them $500, if you don't have the whole $500, of course, you can make payment arrangements. Am I correct?
Right. Correct.
Okay.
So they're going to owe penalties and interest.
Right.
And you have to understand, tax evasion is two different things. It's not necessarily that you just didn't file for years. A lot of times what they're doing is on these stars like Wesley Snipes, let's use him since you used him as an example. It wasn't just that he didn't file. What he did is he tried to hide income. So what he was trying to do is not only was he trying not to pay on what he made, he lied about what he made. And so, you know, when you hear these bigger tax evasions and people going to jail over, the majority of those are people who, it wasn't just that they owed a lot of money, it's that they actually lied about owing money.
Right.
Because normally IRS is not going to throw somebody in jail for owing money and owing a lot of money even, as long as they were filing their returns, filing their all their income, and, you know, they may, like I said, they may have owed and they could be trying to make payments on it. They might, you know, put a lien on your wages, or they might, you know, do that. But those kind of people, you know, those aren't the ones that are going to end up in jail. It's basically your ones who are basically fraudulently trying to hide income or do deductions that aren't allowed, you know, come up with these, you know, outrageous things that don't really exist, and you know that, in fact, it's fraud. Those are the ones that mostly end up in jail.
Okay,
well,
so I have somebody here in the chat room. I have a person here in the chat room, and let's see this. Nightlife Outlaws. Okay, I see your question, but I want Mama D to go ahead and share what she wants to share, and then I'll read your question to her afterwards, okay? All right, so Mama D, go ahead. I do have a person asking a question.
Okay,
but go ahead and
just
share it.
One is fast, and the other one, I'll make it fast. So like I said, I worked for IRS, and going up to the point where I was, because when I left there, I was very high up, okay? And, you know, that's where all my knowledge comes from. I learned it the right way and from the right people, and like I said, but there was a point in time I worked in this unit, and when we were doing audits, you know, we would be auditing people and they'd have to send in all these receipts and verification and all this kind of stuff, you know, and so you get to this point where you do it. And I'll never forget, there was this one time we got, and we would, the receipts, when people would send in receipts, they literally would send in like huge, they would be like boxes of just all their receipts, literally. And we, like, they want us to sort through them instead of, you know, because we're telling them, well, we need you to verify this expense that you took on this Schedule A or whatever like this. So they would send stuff. So this one time, there was a box that had come, and when we opened it up, inside the box, there was a shirt. And attached to the shirt was a note, and on the note it said, "You've taken everything else I have. You might as well take the shirt off my back." It was kind of funny. I mean, I felt bad for, you know, but it was kind of funny. I mean, literally. And so that was it. But the other one, and I'm going to do this, is, you know, Janet, what you just said happened to you is what reminded me, and I'm going to try to make this very fast, Michael, so we can get to your questions. I happened to be helping out in an area that was really needing some help, and they had, you know, loaned me out, let's say, to this particular area, and they were running behind. So they were auditing people for items, but unfortunately, they were literally running a year behind. So that meant that they had been sent letters already, and they were being told they owed money, and some of these people were already having their wages or their income or whatever garnished. And there was this one man, and he was on Social Security, and they were garnishing his Social Security check, and that's all he had, the only income he had. And the problem is that he didn't owe, if the return was processed, he was not going to owe any money, and he would have been refunded all the payments that were taken on the garnishments. But here's where there's a sad situation. He owed back child support. So what happened would mean is that any refund that he would be given, instead of going back to him, would be garnished by child support. Mm-hmm. And the thing is he was barely surviving on this income as it was, and where his return was at least 8 months from being processed, because they filed things in date order. So a call came in from him, and all major escalations went to me. And so I got this guy, and he's an older gentleman, and I started talking to him, and he was literally beyond, and he was so distraught. And he was telling me, you know, that we'd already taken all his money and that once it was processed. So I went and pulled the case, because they're kept in order. I went and pulled the case and I looked at it and I could see he wasn't going to owe, right? So I told him that I would get it processed immediately so he would know. And then that's when he said, well, yeah, but now it's going to all go to child support. And he was so distraught, and he told me that he had a gun and that he was going to just kill himself. And so the thing is, I hear people all the time that would say that, I'm just going to kill myself. So the thing is, you have to learn to listen and know when someone's being serious. This guy was serious. So my thing is, we can only, believe it or not, because of third-party disclosure, we can only do certain things. We can't give out information because it would be against the Information Act. So I called the police department for where I had where he lived, and I called the police department and I told him that there was a gentleman that he had a gun and I believe he was going to commit suicide. And I told him who I was and everything. And I said, but now I can only give you certain information and hopefully you guys can do it, because I could give him his name, but I couldn't give him his address or anything like that. So they were going to have to be able to know. So I did that, and I was trying to keep the guy calm, and I told him that what I was going to do then is he would get the money, because I was going to have a manual refund sent to him, that it wouldn't be done electronically, and that we would manually refund him the check, and he would actually get it. Well, in the meantime, they were able to figure out who he was, and they did get there, and he did have a gun, and he actually was going to kill himself, and I was able to keep him calm enough and prevent it. And they were able to get it from him and calm him down. And I did exactly what I told him I would do. I had it processed immediately, and I had a manual refund done. So the money went back to him. And then I called him because, you know, they did put him on a psych hold. And so after it was all processed and I knew the check had been mailed to him, I called to check on him and see how he was doing. And he was so grateful because he really had been beyond his wits. And it's so hard to imagine people at that point. And so, Michael, that's the other reason why I choose to help anybody I can help, is I don't want to have another person go to that point, because that man was going to kill himself.
It's hard when they take a lot of money from you, because, like I said, I was getting $1,200 a month was going to IRS. That was a house payment, you know.
That's an amazing story, because you know you never think of that of being a possibility, and you know there are folks who have had millions of dollars or who have hundreds of thousands of dollars and got into, you know, investments and everything and jump out windows, you know. So, you know, wow, that's an amazing story. Let me go ahead and read this question here from Nightlife.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is in the chat room. Nightlife Outlet. They say, can she talk about nonprofit? Is it a difference?
There is a difference in nonprofits. When you have a nonprofit that is recognized by IRS, then what they will do is your contributions to a recognized IRS nonprofit, which you can look and it will tell you, IRS has a list that you can actually look at. Your percentage of what you donate to them will actually be like 100% deductible. And there's a new place when you're doing your tax returns now that asks you, is it a qualified deduction? And you check the box either yes or no. And if it is, then you're going to get to declaim the whole amount. If it's a nonprofit, and it can be a nonprofit that is not recognized as, you know, like a universal all the way around from IRS's point of view, because it could be a local nonprofit versus, you know, and you got to remember, IRS is federal, right? So if it's a local nonprofit, then what it is when you're donating to that, it is still a deduction, but it's actually reduced, and it's a percentage. It's still a good percentage, but it's actually reduced by the percentage you can donate. So that's what you have to be careful of. And, like, if you're buying from, let's say, you know, you buy let's say you buy a raffle ticket, and the raffle ticket includes a dinner at a value of $25, but you pay $50 for the ticket. Well, your donation is not the $50. You have to reduce it by what you got. So if you got a dinner for $25, then your donation is only $25. And see, people have to realize that that's the other thing when it comes to nonprofits and contributions, is that you can only donate what you actually donated up to anything that you got in return, you know. And again, there's a lot of nonprofits that are local that are still considered a nonprofit, but not the ones that are recognized by IRS. Hopefully that answers their question.
Wow. Okay. Nightlife Outlaws, I appreciate the question. If you have any more, go ahead and post them. They said yes. Okay. So thank you, Nightlife Outlaws, okay, for the question. Janet, you have another question you want to ask Mama D?
Well, you were mentioning that Trump changed the law. So has there been any better changes since he's not been in office?
Let me tell you, I honestly thought the first thing Biden would do, in all truthfulness, would be to go in and change what Trump did, because it really didn't help. It hurt. It actually hurt the middle to lower income people, which, you know, you would have thought it would have went the other way, but it also hurt, like I said, because of what Trump's limitations did, and at the time he did, was just really unreal. But the other thing Trump did, is if you were a corporation, an LLC, what he did is he made it that your cross-the-board income tax was going to be 21%. So for big companies, that was fantastic. And what a lot of companies did, believe it or not, is they moved their corporate offices to states that had no state tax. So now they only were having to pay across the board 21%. But all these people thought this was a good idea that were like self-employed, and they decided to become an LLC, a limited liability company or a limited liability partnership or an S Corp, because they thought that this was just going to be great. Well, not until I went and showed them that they're paying 21% when they're only in a 14% tax bracket. They shot themselves in their foot on that. I was really surprised. But now I have to tell you, a thing they did for 2021's tax year, they made a great change. They should have left. Okay, and they really, really should have. And let me tell you what it was. And for 22, it went back. And so for 22, the tax year 22, and just to let you know, in some states, and California happens to be one of them, because of all the different disasters and everything, our due date for the returns being filed for state and federal are not until October 16th.
Right.
So it's still full-blown tax season for me. And there's many states that are in that same. It's not just California. There's a lot of states. And I actually do people from 16 different states and Japan. So I have a lot of clients in other states that, you know, this pertains to too. But
And other countries. I'm glad that you brought that up, because that was the next thing I was going to look at, because I did see where they did do an extension for the states like California because of the fires and so on and so forth, like you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But you said Japan too. How is international tax preparation done? That's interesting.
Well, the thing is what happened is they actually were military, and they owned a house in here by it's actually in Lemoore, California, and they kept the house and they rented it out as a rental, but once they moved over to Japan, they loved it so much that they decided to, when he got out of the military, to stay there, but he has income that is earned in the United States and earned in California. So he has to claim that income. And then Japan has a tax that they filed there that he gets credit for paying a foreign tax here. So, yeah, it is. It's very confusing. And I have a lot of clients, and believe it or not, they own rentals in other states. So I have some clients that I literally am filing one federal return always, but I'm filing like 3 and 4 different state returns for them, because of where the income is earned. So there's property. Yeah. So yeah, it makes sense. So it is. It's quite a bit. But the difference in 21. Here's what happened. So in 21, they went from being $2,000 on kids that were 16 and under to it being $3,600 for 5 and under, $3,000 for 17 and under, and then the $500 for over 18 and over. Right. So that was a good change. You got a higher amount of money. Okay, then the other thing they did is they have a thing called what's a refundable credit and a non-refundable credit. The difference is this. Let's say you pay daycare, okay, and so you only owe $500 in tax, but you pay daycare, and what your daycare percentage would be $1,200. So that would cover that $500. Well, the thing is it's a non-refundable credit, which means that it basically zeros it out, so you don't owe any tax. So basically any withholding you have is then going to be refunded to you. But what they did for 2021 is they made it a refundable credit. So whatever you didn't use over that $500, and they made it from 20% to 50%, and they raised the amount from $3,000 to $8,000 per child, and then they made it refundable. I had people in 2021 that were literally, the majority of the refunds were anywhere from $10,000 to $18,000 because of these changes. And then they also made it that if you were a single taxpayer and you were age 18 or older and not a student, you know, not a student or a dependent, they got earned income credit. Because right now, to get earned income credit, you have to be between the ages of 25 and 65. So if you graduated high school and you didn't go to college, you're not your parents' dependent, you're working a full-time job, but it's not, you know, real high income, you don't qualify for the earned income credit until you are 25. And it's like,
wow.
You know, that never makes sense to me because, you know, you're still, even though you might only be 19, you know, you're working, you're out there in the workforce, but they did allow it for 21 only. But then they changed everything back in 22. And so all these people that got these wonderful refunds, guess what they happened? They ended up owing.
No.
Wow. Let me ask another thing. Now, you working for yourself, you've been doing this for, what you said, 46 years, right?
Yep.
Yes. Your own business. Now, there's some folks that I know that work from home, but they work for a company. They have to be online at a certain time, right? Because the company knows, hey, you're late. You're supposed to have your computer up and running. You're supposed to log in, blah, 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 blah. Okay, and they have to work so many hours. What is your schedule like, and how do you schedule your day, your week, being an independent individual?
This is the other thing that people love about me is I do work all 7 days, and I work around schedules. Now, you know, everybody that knows me knows I'm not a morning person. For me, I would rather schedule afternoon and evening appointments, but I do morning too, but I do weekend. And so what I do is I work with people's schedules. So I generally have a certain amount of time, and so when they call to make an appointment, and, you know, I make sure if it's one of my regular clients, I already know what kind of things we file, and I just ask if there's anything new. So I know how much time to allot for them. I got a lot of new clients this year, though. For some reason, I really picked up a lot of new clients this year. And when you have a new client, you really have to kind of say, okay, now, do you have this, this, and this to know how much time to allow? But, Michael, this is this is funny. There's a casino here called Table Mountain. And I used to go up all the time to Table Mountain. I mean, I'm a big gambler, used to be. I don't anymore because I don't drive. But all the dealers knew me. And so, like, for instance, at Table Mountain, I probably do 90% of the employees there, especially the table dealers. So it's kind of funny.
Wow.
They all know me. When I do go up there, it's all – every time I'm sitting there and somebody sees me, they come by, hey, Diane, how you doing? Hey, and I'm going to be seeing you soon. Hey, I'll be – you know, and all these people, you know, you're sitting at a table and all these people are looking like, who the hell is he? But so some of these people, they know I'm a night person. I actually have people that would come at midnight, 2 in the morning, because I'm up. And I work from home, so I don't have a problem with it. And then that just means that the next morning I won't schedule anybody real early. And I work, that's it. I work around them, whatever they need. And, you know, it makes it very easy. And it's usually, you know, during, although tax season is very challenging when everybody, all my procrastinators get closer to the due date because it is just me. And last year, some people waited way too long. And it was like, okay, I can't get to you. It's like I can file you an extension and we can do it the next week as long as you don't owe. But, you know, and that's the one thing I make sure they try to do is that you have to understand. So this year, I made sure last year they all knew if you want to be done this year by me, you better. No, but we got till October, so. We've been doing all good things. But even though the main time that I wear myself out, as Courtney likes to say, is from January to like the second week of May is when I am the most busiest and I will wear myself out. And then it'll slow down. But I literally work all year round. Like I said, I'm helping somebody right now with 6 years and then somebody else with 5 years. You know, and when we're still in tax season, I have people, as a matter of fact, I have a client coming tomorrow that's, you know, we're doing just their regular taxes and everything. And I have a lot of my regular clients that I know are procrastinating because they're going to owe. And so I know they'll be hitting me up September.
I was going to ask that. Is there a way that someone can contact you if they're interested in your services? Or is it just through word of mouth?
It's word of mouth. But, of course, I have an email address that's real easy. It's Diana Fresno. So it's D-I-A-N-E-O-F-F-R-E-S-N-O @AOL.com. and then my phone number, and it's better to text me, or if you don't get me, leave a message, because sometimes if I'm with a client, I don't normally take calls, but I will always return them after I'm done with the client, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's better, though, to text me, and then as soon as I have availability to text you back and find out, okay, or I'll call you back. But my phone number is 559-681-0589. And, you know, just say, hey, heard you on the Michael Gay Show. Would like to talk to you about taxes, whatever, however you heard about me. A lot of my clients all follow me on Facebook. You usually will see different posts on Facebook from them that they're kind of the reminders for everybody about me. So, but yes, no, you're more than welcome to contact me at my email or my text, either one.
That email again, what is it, Diane at Fresno?
Diane of Fresno. So it's DianeOfFresno at AOL.com. And yes, I am AOL.com. And the reason is when I originally signed up to, because I'm an actual filer for IRS, meaning I'm a direct e-filer for them and I'm on their list. They have a special group of people that you can be part of, which means if you were to Google our area and ask for a preparer, my name would be one of the top names that they would give you for our area because I'm one of theirs. And that means that, like, my returns are processed ahead of others, which really there's a lot of advantages to be, you know, in this situation. But when I first created my account all those years ago, you know, the only thing that was in existence was AOL. And believe it or not, when I had to change my name, when I got married and I changed my name, you know, to do any kind of a change with the IRS, it really almost takes an act of Congress. So I decided I decided, you know what, it's going to just stay AOL forever.
You still do? I thought AOL didn't exist anymore.
Oh, no. It's definitely still there. Trust me, right now I have 54,000 emails, it says.
Wow.
I got to clear these
out. And I definitely want everybody that's listening to know that, but they can always reach you on a certain show on Blog Talk Radio, correct?
Yes. Oh, yes, of course. You know what? Yeah, we're on Real and Raw Radio. We were on today. We are ahead of you guys, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and we are on Blog Talk, Real and Raw Radio, and, you know, I should be able to roll off the number, but because I don't know the number by heart, I'm sorry to say. But it's always got a thing on Facebook for it, our episode, and you can either click the link or we put the phone numbers down. And you can reach me there. And if you let me look, I think I'm going to tell you the phone number.
Mama D, I got your back. You can call in at 845-277-9348. That's 845-277-9348. Okay.
Thank you. Oh, I appreciate it. Yeah, I told everybody from our show today that I was going to be on here, and so I know we have a lot. You might have a lot of 111s on your board or numbers you don't know or something, but I do know we have a lot of listeners that are listening right now because I'm getting texts, so I know that we're being heard.
Well, that's fantastic. And I appreciate everyone tuning in and supporting you. I did see what they call the 111 numbers, they call the secret squirrels. So I saw a couple pop up here and there. But also I have a lot of 205s here. That's Birmingham. Right now I'm looking at three of them right now. Three Birmingham, Alabama numbers.
Yes, we have a lot of people that call from that area code. By the way, I would like to say this about our show, if you don't mind. Today was exactly 8 years for the broadcasting of Real and Raw Radio. 8 years it has been on the air that Courtney has been. She's the host, I'm the co-host, and our co-co is Anthony, a.k.a. King. But we have been on the air now for 8 years today. And
fantastic.
So this was a really cool thing. But it was our fifth episode, as Courtney is now on her own, like you went out, Michael, on your own. Courtney is now on her own, and this was our fifth episode, and, you know, we're doing really well, and we're glad about it. So, yeah, definitely
yes,
glad you knew the number. Thank you.
AK is still with you, you say?
Yes, AK is still with us, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, congratulations. That's great because, you know, I mean, you know, you were formerly with another network and then you guys parted ways and just like that, you guys just like, boom, was, hello, we're still here. So I was like, oh, mm-hmm. Wow, that's great. Fantastic. Yeah. Janet, you have one last question or comment before we get out of here. We're almost at the top of the hour.
Thank you, Michael,
well, no,
by the way, for having
really
me.
I really enjoyed the information that you gave us today, tonight, and I'm going to give your information to a few of my relatives. I'm quite sure they'll be calling me.
Just tell them to let me know that it was Janet that sent them, so I know, because like I said, I'm referral normally, and it just helps if I know who referred them to me. So, you know,
okay.
Just so I have an idea. Yeah. But no, and I can tell you that there's a lot of things I specialize in. One of them is self-employed, big specializing there. But if you have back taxes that you owe and you're in a mess, yeah, definitely I'm somebody mm-hmm. that can help you.
Okay. Well, wonderful.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm a big helper when it comes to messes.
Well, definitely. Well, you know, as I said, and I'm not joking, I might have to look at giving you a holler next year because people – many years, I was getting a good little chunk of change back, right? This year, mm-hmm. federal, I'm getting $1. Seriously.
Oh, my gosh.
One freaking dollar? Are you serious?
If it was done wrong, you know you can amend it.
No, I didn't do it wrong, Janet. I've been doing my own taxes for years, and I will get back thousands. This year, they said
$1. Now, you know, probably, Michael, if I had to guess, there's two reasons. One is they... Hmm. Not only did they change the W-4s, so the new W-4s mm-hmm. came out 4 years ago, actually, but most people were still doing the ones that were you marked single and one, single and two, single and three, married and four, whatever you were doing. That's not how they work anymore. So they mm-hmm. were supposed to start using 4 years ago these new W-4s. People still hadn't done it and was doing it under the old way. Well, the companies now have basically, IRS has said, okay, we've given you 4 years to get your software programs to adapt to what these new changes were supposed to be. So now what's happening is they're still withholding you the way they've always withheld you, but now mm-hmm. because they didn't withhold you the way IRS told them to, when it now went to IRS and you put it on the IRS form, your tax bracket now is different than what you were withheld at. So that's why you're owing now or U.S. to get it is because most of these companies have not made the change and are not withholding right. And so I actually have one whole – there's a company here in town that I do 22 of the employees from their company and all 22 of their W-2s. And I actually saw the W-4s they filled out. The W-4s were filled out correctly, but the W-2s showed that the withholdings were not right. So that's telling me that the company is not using the new formula that IRS told them to use.
I'm sorry. I apologize. I don't owe. I'm only getting back a dollar.
No, I know.
That's
but
all
I'm saying, but the reason you're only getting that back is because they changed it, so that's why you didn't get back as much as you could have in past years.
Okay.
So you can amend.
Wow.
Yeah, no, he
crazy.
Did it right. He did his taxes right. No, he didn't do anything wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. Yeah, no, he filed his taxes right. It's not him that did something wrong. It's the company, and there's no way they're going to go back and change anything now because you've already been paid. You've already gotten your money. So you're just stuck with only getting a dollar refund, which kind of sucks,
If you're getting a refund, and let's say you don't file before the deadline, do they penalize you or not? That's some folks are like, oh, wow, you know, I didn't have a chance, but I don't owe anything. You know, there are folks who are getting a refund, but they were late.
Yeah, anybody that doesn't owe or it's a refund, there is no penalties or interest charged when you file. And believe it or not, let's say right now we're filing the tax year of 22, but let's say you needed to file the tax year of 21 and it was a refund. Believe it or not, they will pay you interest on it. Even though it's you that didn't file till now, they will still go back to April 15th of 2023 when it was due, and they will pay you interest from that date forward. I mean, 22 forward. So they will pay you interest even if you're the one filing late. But anytime you don't owe or it's a refund, there will never be a penalty or an interest charged.
So if I let them keep that dollar, they're going to give me interest?
Yes.
So if I let them keep that dollar, they're going to give me interest?
Yeah, if you would have waited to file it and then filed it, they would have paid you interest on that, yep. Right now they're paying 6%.
Oh, I'm going to leave that dollar in there then. They can hold on to it. Leave that dollar. And next
year
I'll be
like,
hey, leave that dollar that I left you all. How much did I gain on it?
That's it.
See, I'm going to contact you for next year.
No problem. You guys take care. And thank you, Michael, for having me on your show. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thank
I appreciate you.
You
accepting the invitation. All right, you guys, we got to get out of here. It's almost the top of the hour. And, wow, Janet, I truly appreciate Diane coming on the day. That was a lot of great information. And I want to thank Timon for joining us. You guys know that Timon, he hangs out with us for at least an hour, and then he has to move on because he's got other things to do. You know, remember, check him out. Dry Bar, great stand-up work. So, and thanks for everybody on the panel, everybody that's on the board. I see someone that's waving their hand, and I'm going to open up their mic. And now I'm going to add a couple more minutes here because I have to do the closeout here. But, let's see, 205-478 has their hand up. That's Birmingham. Welcome to TMGS.
Hello, Mr. Mike and everybody on the channel this evening. This is Gwen from Birmingham, and I was just waving my hand and say hello to everybody. I've been MIA for hey, how are you? I've been MIA for a minute. My day had passed, and I've been kind of like a little out of it, but I'm back, and I enjoy the show. And I was just wanting to let you know, I don't know, Mr. Mike, if you are seeing some more Birmingham, I asked some other people to come in and join the show. They're from the Foundation Night Live Outlaws, and they're listening to your show. And we were texting back and forth, and they were really enjoying your show. So I just want to let you know.
Oh, wonderful.
Thanks for everything that y'all do, and it was I enjoyed everything tonight.
Well, thank you so much. Wonderful. I did see them up in the chat room, and they did post a question. I did read it on the show. So I think for the folks in the chat room, and I think the folks who pop up in the panel and listen to the show, don't be afraid to hit the number one and talk. You know, this is a TALK show. It is a talk show. So don't be afraid to hit the number one next Saturday. And join the conversation.
That's
We're
right.
going to get ready to get on out of here. Thank you again, Gwen, so much for having folks join us. And
yes.
Join us every Saturday. This is TMGS. We are that variety show. So chime in. If you have any questions or comments or anything, always go to our always go and look for us on Facebook and also on Instagram, TMG and the Michael Gay Network, or TMGS the Michael Gay Show. Either way, I will see your texts or comments there or questions. And I guess that'll do it. Hey, enjoy the rest of your weekend. This is Saturday night, then comes Sunday, and then it's back to work on Monday. And again, for you folks in California and Los Angeles, don't forget, get your tickets now for the Karen White Experience happening, it's the 27th, right, at Hollywood Park Amphitheater, okay? Also, O'Brien will be there, plus two other special guests. It's a fantastic show. You don't want to miss it. Karen White is coming home to L.A. All right. With that being said, you guys, God bless. See you next Saturday. Peace. We're out of here.
All right.